Welcome to the Football Bloody Hell podcast, a retro football podcast full of nostalgia, memories and recollections of when football was just a little bit better. This podcast is sponsored by the Football Bloody Hell shop, the perfect place to get iconic retro posters of all your favorite football legends. Head over to the Football Bloody Hell shop to find your perfect poster. In this podcast, we remember Coventry City shocking the mighty Tottenham Hotspur in the 1987 FA Cup final. We hope you enjoy this podcast and please do share it with all your retro football loving friends. If you like it, please do leave a review so we can climb the league table. It helps more people like you find us. Against the odds, Coventry City's heroic FA Cup triumph. Last week, I spoke about how Manchester City's FA Cup victory in 2011 was the beginning of the dominance in English football, the start of a dynasty, as it were. Although the world's oldest cup competition may not be the pinnacle of most of the top six clubs as it once was, with the focus primarily being on the Premier League and European tournaments, it is still a historically significant trophy to achieve. But back in the 1980s, when the FA Cup was more prestigious than today, clubs would fight tooth and nail to win the competition and bring glory to their fans. Coventry City was one such team when they won the 1987 final against Tottenham Hotspur. This piece will detail how the Sky Blues managed to defeat a Spurs side that featured the likes of Glenn Hoddle, Chris Waddle and Aussie Osvaldo Ardiles, amongst others, to win their first significant honour in the club's history. The build-up, music and tactics. In the build-up, both clubs had recorded songs to commemorate reaching the FA Cup final. Spurs brought London musicians Chaz and Dave to record the song, Hot Shot Tottenham, reaching number 18 on the UK singles chart. In comparison, Coventry released the single, Go For It, which reached number 61. Tottenham was, without doubt, the favourites, having never lost the previous seven finals, and many of their playing squad had experience in Wembley and international matches. In stark contrast, Coventry had only one international in David Phillips, and only four of their players had appeared at the National Stadium. Both sides had deployed a 4-4-2 formation. Coventry manager John Sillett had to play without regular fullback Brian Borrows after his injury in the season's final league game. He would be replaced by Mickey Ginn in the starting XL, with Phillips moving from the midfield to the defence to replace Borrows. Spurs, meanwhile, fielded a full-strength squad, with Chris Hughton playing at right-back in place of Gary Stevens. The Irishman had missed all but 10 of the team's games since November due to an injury but was fit for the final. Stevens's potential versatility partly influenced manager David Pleat's decision to leave him on the substitutes bench. This season was also the first in which teams were allowed to select two substitutes for an FA Cup match. The final, never giving up. Tottenham kicked off the final with 96,000 fans inside Wembley on a sweltering day. Within 2 minutes, Pleat's men went 1-0 up. Waddle played in a cross from the right wing, and Clive Allen beat defender Trevor Peat to the ball to head it past Coventry keeper Steve Ogrizovich for his 49th goal of the season. Not the start that the Sky Blues wanted, but they immediately went about finding an equaliser. 5 minutes later, Mitchell Thomas fouled Ginn deep in the Tottenham half. The resulting free kick was eventually cleared to Ginn, who passed to Cyril Regis, whose cross was cleared, and the ball fell to Phillips, whose snapshot was deflected away. Sillett's men continued to pressure the Spurs' defence, and in the ninth minute, they got the goal after a deep cross from Greg Downs was headed on by Keith Houchen to Dave Bennett, who rounded goalkeeper Ray Clements and struck the ball past Steve Hodge into the corner of the Tottenham goal. Coventry nearly made it 2-1 just 2 minutes later when a high cross from Houchen was dropped by Clements but cleared by Hughton. Midway through the first half, Sky Blues won a throw-in deep in Tottenham territory. Houchen flicked on the long throw from Phillips before Regis headed it into the goal past a diving Clements, only for it to be disallowed due to a foul on Thomas. At the half-hour mark, a back pass from Trevor Peat was chased down by Clive Allen, forcing Ogrizovich to run from his area and make a hurried clearance which Hoddle intercepted. However, the Tottenham midfielder's shot was blocked by Peat, whose pass to Ogrizovich was misplaced, allowing Allen another chance, this time striking the side netting. 5 minutes later, a quick break from Coventry saw Regis run at the Tottenham defence before passing the ball to Ginn. His shot was low and hard to Clements's right-hand side, but the Tottenham goalkeeper saved before Gary Mavitt cleared it out. Late into the first half, however, Pleat's men would regain the lead when Nick Pickering fouled Paul Allen on the right-hand touchline, midway into the Coventry half. Hoddle's free kick into the penalty area flew over three defenders and fell to Mavitt, whose left-footed strike bounced into the Coventry goal to make it 2-1 to Tottenham after 41 minutes. The half-time whistle blew, and despite being a goal down, the Sky Blues were not going to fade away. Neither side made any changes as Coventry kicked off the second half. Second half, keeping up the pressure. After 54 minutes gone, a poor defensive clearance from Peak was collected by Houghton, who played the ball to Hoddle. His mazy run towards the Coventry penalty area ended with a cross which was narrowly missed by Clive Allen but caught by Ogrizovic. Not long afterwards, a long ball upfield from Brian Kilcline found Gin amongst four Tottenham defenders. He strode towards the penalty area, but Goff cut out his attempted pass. However, at the 63rd minute mark, Sillett's team could not be denied again. Regis headed on a long goal kick from Ogrizovic to Houghton. He controlled the ball before passing out to Bennett on the right wing while continuing his run into the Spurs penalty area. Bennett kept possession before producing a right-footed cross which Houghton struck past Clements with a diving header into the bottom left corner of the goal to make it 2-2. Their determination and willingness to keep going were remarkable, and with momentum on their side, Coventry looked for a winner. In the 70th minute, a quick throw in from Bennett found Phillips, whose cross into the box was headed goalward by Houghton but was saved by Clements to his left. Spurs still had their moments, though, as, with just over 10 minutes left, Hoddle played the ball from deep in the Coventry half on the right wing into the penalty area to Hodge. Clive Allen turned his defender to make a low cross struck high and wide. Waddle then received the ball from a throw-in just into the Coventry half. He advanced and hit a left-footed shot from around 30 yards past the post. In the 88th minute, Pleat's side had the final big chance of the game when Houghton crossed from the right into the Coventry box, where Clive Allen controlled it before shooting on the turn from close range. Ogrizovic saved it with his foot. Just a minute later, Coventry made the first substitution of the match, with Graham Roger coming on to replace Kilcline, who had sustained an injury in an earlier mistimed tackle on Mavitt. But neither side could muster up a final last-minute goal, and the game would go to extra time. Extra time winners. During the interval, Spurs made their first change when Stevens replaced Argyles, with Pleat's men kicking off the first half of extra time. Within the first 5 minutes, Hodge received the ball in his own half and ran towards the Coventry goal, beating three defenders before Downs blocked his shot on the edge of the penalty area. A moment later, however, Sillett's men would complete the turnaround after Roger picked up a loose ball from Tottenham and advanced over the halfway line before sending a left-footed pass out to McGrath in space on the right wing. Lloyd McGrath then ran into the Spurs penalty area and crossed the ball, which Mavitt deflected upwards off his left knee and over Clements to score an own goal, making it 3-2 to Coventry. Pleat made his second and final substitution during the Coventry celebrations, with Nico Klassen coming on to replace Houghton. But the momentum was firmly with the Sky Blues as they broke quickly from their own half, as Bennett found Gin. He dribbled to the edge of the Tottenham box before being fouled by Richard Goff. The resulting free kick was struck straight into Hoddle in the defensive wall. Sillett's players could have made it 4-2 before the break when Bennett played the ball into the penalty area to the feet of Houghton, whose low first-time shot was saved by Clements down to his right. The referee brought the first period of extra time to a close, with the score 3-2 to Coventry. The Sky Blues kicked off the second half of extra time with no changes during the interval. In the 109th minute, Gin made a penetrating run towards the edge of the Spurs area, laying the ball off to Pickering, whose placed shot went wide and high of the goal. The Tottenham players began to fade with their quality as Coventry had most of the chances through the second period of extra time. With 3 minutes remaining, a wayward pass from Mavitt was intercepted by Bennett, who quickly passed to Gin. He ran into the area, rode the challenge of Stevens and took the ball wide before shooting, but Clements caught the strike. Coventry began to run the clock down as they tried to keep possession. Spurs' last chance came from Hoddle's long-range volley, which Ogrizovic easily gathered. It proved to be the last chance of the game as the referee blew the final whistle, and Coventry City were crowned FA Cup champions. It was a fantastic achievement for Sillett and his players as they overcame the odds against a brilliant Tottenham side and won their first major trophy in the club's history. but, unfortunately, because of the ban on English clubs in European competitions due to the Heysel disaster of 1985, they would not be able to compete in next season's UEFA Cup. However, that doesn't take away the efforts and resistance the Sky Blues players displayed throughout their FA Cup journey that season. It is one of the reasons why the competition is still held in such high regard to this day, despite what some people might say. Thank you for listening to our Football Bloody Hell podcast on Coventry City winning the 1987 FA Cup final. Please share this podcast with your fellow football-loving friends and family, and don't forget to check out our shop where you can buy amazing, iconic framed artwork and high-quality t-shirts. Right now we have free shipping on all artwork orders. Simply head to footballbh.shop. That's footballbh.shop. Also, don't forget to check out all the written content on the site over at footballbh.net. Today's podcast was written by Tullah Crandon and narrated by Roger Tubor. We will be back soon with another short podcast for you to enjoy.